Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell. Welcome to our first show of the new year and Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you guys for tuning in. And if you're listening to us with playback, thank you so much for listening. And as always, if you guys have a comment or question, you can call us at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. I'm going to wait until the end of the show to do beauty news, except if my sister has any news for us tonight. But we want to just jump right into the conversation with our guest tonight. We have Michael Key. He's executive producer of IMAX, publisher of the Makeup Artist magazine. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Well, thank you, ladies, for having me. I'm honored that you would want to speak with me this Sunday evening.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been a long, when I say long, it's been a long time, like a few years ago. You were on the show once or twice, and also some representatives from IMAX as well. We definitely want to talk about IMAX tonight, but I want to talk about something we've never asked you before. Can you introduce yourself to our listening audience and talk a little bit about Michael Key, the makeup artist, and how you got started in this makeup world that led to IMAX and the Makeup Artist magazine?
Sure, it's an interesting journey. It's not quite Cinderella story, but it gets a little bit close to that. I was born in Los Angeles and spent most of my time there, at least from teenage years. And I lived in the city of Burbank, which is a small city within the county of Los Angeles. And if you live in Burbank, you do one of two things. You either work in aerospace or you work in entertainment. And actually, a lot of my relatives do work in aerospace. They worked for Lockheed. And that didn't really, you know, although I considered that didn't really quite draw me. I actually thought I would like to pursue a music career once I had some direction. At age 14, I thought, well, maybe I'll do music. So for 10 years, I went with that with all heart and soul. Toward the end of that 10 years, I thought, you know, this is not a very predictable career, at least as far as where you can go with it. And I made a left turn, and not really looking to have a career change, but I just started dabbling in makeup, and I just for fun. And actually, that's the way a lot of things that I end up doing. They start as passions, and then I end up making a living through them. Unfortunately, I didn't make a living through music, or maybe fortunately, depending on the way you look at it. But I started dabbling in makeup, and I started reading, you know, what little could be found at that time, because we're talking about mid to late 80s. Then there's not a lot of books. You know, videos were non-existent. Internet didn't exist, you know, IMATS didn't exist. I mean, so we had just a little information, but luckily I lived in Los Angeles, which was an epicenter for makeup, and I was good at networking and kind of just getting out there and doing footwork. So I, you know, kind of dabbled some things, got what books I could, and then eventually found myself at NBC Studios in Burbank. And they put me in charge of this itty-bitty prosthetic lab, which is about the size of a closet. It's very, very small. I was pretty disappointed. I was actually, I was very aware of NBC in New York, which had a rich heritage under Dick Smith, who shepherded that along. And NBC in Burbank was a very, very different experience. But I was thankful for it because they brought me in and they said, well, why don't you show us how to do these things that you're doing and we'll teach you television and beauty makeup. And that was actually a bit much of a, it was a huge landmark because my career may have just only gone into makeup effects. But I started working game shows and soap operas and all types of things you do in network television. And that's what, you know, firmly established me as being a full-service makeup artist.
Wow. And you're an Emmy Award-winning makeup artist.
I am. I'm fortunate to have been nominated 5 times, and I was able to win twice, so I've got the book in, so
nice.
Both sides of that one. The 2 times I did win, it was both of them were for Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I actually did about 7 years in the Star Trek franchise, working on television shows and even a few of the movies that I did. So Star Trek actually helped me buy my first house, so I'm very thankful for Star Trek.
Television is good for stuff like that.
It is.
Buying a house, thankful. Yeah. Now, do you miss makeup?
Well, I'm still fully immersed in makeup. It's funny when I hear you say that.
But as a makeup artist.
I'm kind of involved in makeup almost 24/7, so I don't feel like I'm missing that. But I think I understand what your question is.
As a makeup artist.
Yeah, do I miss carrying a case? You know, there are aspects of it. I'd say the creative portion of that, where I'm doing something with my own hands and actually doing that, that is something that very much energizes me. And that part, I do miss the creative aspect of it. And I miss, you know, I love television and film, so I'm no longer contributing to that in the same fashion. But I tell you what I don't miss. I don't miss the hours. I don't miss having no control, any idea of when, you know, when I can do anything. It's a bit like joining the Foreign Legion. They own you till they're done with you. You don't know
until
when they're going to wrap.
Exactly.
You don't know when your call time is going to be, so you can't make any plans. And if you're doing episodic television, that's 60 to 70 hours a week. So, you know, forget any kind of personal life. You know, you end they say Friday, but it's really early morning Saturday.
Yeah, Friday.
Yes, very good. How did you say that? I like that. What's that word again?
Fratterday.
I'm going to steal that. I really like that. I haven't heard that before. Yeah, Fratterday, when you see the sun come up. So half a day for you to recuperate. And there was times, like I remember 1 month that every Monday for that month, like, my call time was either 1:12 or 1:42. And so, you know, so you're really going to work Sunday night in a sense. So I don't miss that part.
Yeah. Yeah. Nowadays it's more like 75, 80 hours. A week.
I was fortunate because I was married during the whole time that I was doing that. So I had somebody, you know, my wife, loving wife, was at home, you know, doing dishes, doing laundry, you know, paying bills.
Right.
I felt some of those poor bastards were sitting there writing out their bills in their set chair in between all that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Thinking, how do you get everything done?
Right, that's a good point. Either writing out their bills or totally forgetting about their bills. Because when they go home, they're going to sleep, and then they wake up and they do it all over again, and there you go. You forgot about your bills.
Yeah, I just looked at that. I just totally am mystified as a single person how you could work episodic television. And I don't know, you need like a servant at home or something.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have my wife supporting me, you know, keeping things together at home, I don't know how I would have done it.
Yeah, exactly. This business is so much more than just, you know, doing the makeup. There's a lot of other things that go into it.
There are, you know, another thing that I do miss is like when I go, you know, I do speaking engagements, and if I go speak at, you know, sometimes I'll speak at like public schools and speak to kids, you know, younger kids, and I speak to makeup schools quite often. And, you know, they ask me what things I worked on. It used to be when I used to rattle off things I worked on, everybody's eyes would light up and, oh, yeah, because that's what was happening right then. Now you kind of see there's a little bit of a disconnect because, you know, they go, oh, yeah, that was my parents' favorite show. I remember they used to watch that or movies that from the 90s or whatnot. So my relevance in what I contribute to makeup-wise carrying a case, that part is changing a bit. It's moving from that was my favorite movie as a kid, or, you know, working on The Grinch or something, and we watch that every year. I mean, there's so many things that are, you know, like almost legendary in a way, but I think it's just not quite as current in that sense. But you know what? I would make the same decision every single day of the week and twice on Sundays. I'm very happy with the kind of left turn I did, and actually maybe that's a good segue for us, is how in the world did I go from a case carrying makeup artist to what I'm doing now? I wasn't looking to make a career change. I was very happy with the way my career was progressing as a motion picture makeup artist. And I started Makeup Artist Magazine because I just felt that the industry needed, not even just the industry, I just felt our culture needed it. They need to understand what the makeup artist contributes to the look of the picture and what brings to that. Because I thought, you know, so much of what makeup artists do goes unseen, unnoticed, or definitely unappreciated, because they don't realize the greatness that was done there. And so I thought, well, it was also a little bit selfish. I thought, you know, our working conditions and our standing and respect in the industry is diminishing because people don't understand what we're doing. So I thought this would be a great tool for that, for our colleagues to be able to see it, but also for the public to be able to be on the newsstand so they could look at it and really understand what makeup artists do. But I really wasn't looking for a career change, but by issue 3, I had to resign from my television show. I had to step down. That was a little tough, but, you know, I still had my hand in it. We were just putting out a magazine every other month. So I was still doing plenty of day checking, still doing some projects through my own makeup design company. So it was a gradual process. And I was, you know, especially when we only had one trade show, that was nice.
Right.
I could work much longer. Like for The Grinch, I think I worked for a couple of months on that. And like Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes was about a month. So I used to be able to contribute, you know, time. But as we added IMAT shows, and then when I moved the company north in 2004, then working on a film required an airplane and staying in a hotel.
Right. And that's never easy either.
No, it kept adding shows. We could probably talk about, you know, why in the world did I create IMATS anyway? And IMATS was, it's what's funny, people are IMATS has become more famous than Makeup Artist Magazine is. But the whole reason I created IMATS was out of a necessity to be able to promote Makeup Artist Magazine. Because in the mid-90s, although we had the internet, still awfully new, I'm not even sure if we had much for search engines.
Right.
It was in its infancy. So, and I was not trained in publishing, so I started talking to people that were the real professionals that actually had been doing this for a living. And I said, how do you increase, you know, getting awareness for your publication? They said, well, for a trade magazine, you want to be able to do trade shows. That makes sense. Okay, so I started calling my advertisers, and I said, you know, where are you exhibiting? Because wherever you're at, that's probably where we'll be the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, well, we tried this show, and we tried that show. There's these beauty shows, but they're really all about hair, and there's really not a lot of makeup in there, and actually we don't really exhibit at them anymore. I got about 10 phone calls like that, and was so obvious that there's not, I was astounded actually, there's not a trade show for makeup. I thought that's a $1 billion industry. Why is no one doing this? And I guess it's because, you know, department store brands, tied in, it was a little different, but I thought there really needs to be this. And I also could see that we were the very best people in which to be able to produce the show because we were so neutral. There was no one, you know, if a brand did it, they would have competitors that wouldn't want to participate, or a school,
right?
Whatever it was. But we were mutually beneficial to everyone in the industry, so it would be embraced. And also, I felt also with my background in music, having to do live shows, understanding that traveling circus, and also working in motion pictures, understanding lighting, understanding camera and composition, and I just combined all of that past experience and said, you know, we can do this. And also, I had been, I should say that I was had been the craft president for Local 706.
I never knew that.
I was the craft president longer than anybody in the history of the local. I did it for 8 years.
Oh, okay,
and
who's trying to catch up with you?
You know, I don't think anybody's trying to. It's one of those things where somebody does it a couple of years. You know, it's like doing charity work. You'll do it for a while, but usually you won't continue to do that because you have other things that you need to do. But I did it because I had a passion for it. Because I thought it was one of the things I thought that was one of the most beneficial things of being a part of, you know, the IOTSI union, were these meetings that were about technique and product and knowledge, education.
Mm-hmm.
I loved those, which is why I ultimately took over the position. But and that's another thing that was helpful too. At least on an extremely small scale allowed me to experiment with that. So, but we started IMATS to promote Makeup Artist Magazine, and now, you know, IMATS is so much bigger than what Makeup Artist Magazine is. So I never saw that coming. But we have, you know, now that we have six shows. When we have one show, it was one thing, but you know, then you had London and then in the mid 2000s or late 2000s, we added almost a show a year until we got up to all six that we do now. Which means we're producing a magazine every month and a trade show a magazine every other month and a trade show every other month.
So which you said six shows.
Yeah, we do six shows. We do in the United States,
gotcha.
It's Los Angeles and New York. Two in Canada, which is Toronto and Vancouver, BC, and then London, England, and Sydney, Australia.
And Sydney, right, okay. Now, how old is each show?
Well, LA was first. The second was London. We started London in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the next show to be actually launched was Sydney, Australia. I want to say that was in 2008. That sounds about right, about 2008. And then we added Toronto into the mix, which is about this, like 2009, seems about right. And then that would have meant Vancouver in 2010. Yep, that's it. And then 2011 is when we launched New York. So New York is our newest show, but yet it has the largest audience. So it's been our fastest growing show.
Growing.
It went from small to enormous very quickly.
Within a year, right? Like that next year, you all had moved to a different location and.
We did. It was you know, difficult to see if we could do a show in New York and would it work. And also, you know, there was already a show there. I thought, well, will the community, will it be able to support two shows? And obviously that was easy enough to see that that was the case. But, to figure out how we do something there and not be at the Javits. If for those listening, Javits is like the big convention center in New York. And that looked scary. It still does look scary to me. I just don't want to do that.
Right. That place is huge.
Huge and
so
expensive. We would have to charge everybody about 3-4 times as much money to do what we do normally.
Wow.
So I was thankful that we were able to strike a relationship with the Pier 94. We've been able to grow there quite well.
Nice.
Well, I definitely would like to say thank you very, very much for Makeup Artist Magazine and for IMATS. Back in, I think it was 98, my sister and I are from Maryland, and I was in a makeup artist program in Maryland, and my teacher, she would talk about IMATS trade show. And do you remember the Girla World palettes or something like that? There were these, I think they were eyeshadow palettes. It was a brand from back in that time. And she would always say that she would meet up with her friends and they would go to IMATS. And she wasn't able to go that particular year. And she, one of her friends had sent her one of the palettes that they bought for her. And when she talked about it, I was like, okay, what's IMATS? What's this IMATS? And then one day she brought in a Makeup Artist Magazine, and she showed she passed the magazine around, and so when the magazine got to me, I asked her, I said, do you mind if I took this home and I'll bring it back? She said, make sure you bring it back. Make sure you bring it back. So I would photocopy the page that had the subscription information on it, and I subscribed, and I've been subscribing ever since. And then I think about maybe a year or two after, maybe about 2 years after that. I think it was 2001, I believe. It was my first IMAX LA. And I will tell anybody to this day that that magazine and that trade show literally changed my life in terms of my career, I believe. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like my very first IMAX ever.
No. Oh, my gosh. We ran around like kids going from one class to the next. I mean, our eyes were so big, we couldn't. It's like you tried to get to every vendor. You wanted to see it all. You wanted to buy it all. We just wanted to do it all.
Well, it really is. Thank you for your kind words. I think the magazine and the show has changed all our lives. And it's because it's really about our entire community. It's not just what I'm doing or just what my team is doing. The whole industry contributes to it from an editorial standpoint or education or exhibitors. It's all of us together, bringing it together. I oftentimes refer to IMATS as the world's largest celebration of makeup artistry. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. We're coming together to celebrate the art. And it continues to evolve and change, and the industry continues to change. And I'm just really thankful that here we are we're 3 days into it. It's 2016, so we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Makeup Artist Magazine, and we're going to have an epic gala celebration a week from Wednesday that we're going to do in Pasadena. It's going to be unprecedented for anything that we've ever done before, actually. We're going to be bringing together and honoring it's not really just about the anniversary of Makeup Artist Magazine, but it's really about the past two decades and beyond of the art of makeup that we're celebrating. And there's a number of artists that we're going to be honoring a week from Wednesday to be able to do that. And so we're going to do kind of a year-long celebration of Makeup Artist Magazine because we're seeing where there's people that we started doing it as adults, but now it's inspiring the next generation. We have people come up and tell us that the reason they got into makeup was because of IMATS or Makeup Artist Magazine, or mm-hmm. that's how what helped establish for them to set the benchmark for what their goals were in their career was the information that was in the magazine, because it showed what leaders were doing and what their thoughts were and everybody was sharing. So it's really everybody contributing together. So I think that it definitely has changed the industry, which I'm very proud of the fact that we've helped contribute to the industry in that fashion. It's a wonderful thing. That's why when I talked about earlier, when I said I don't have regrets for having made the decision, because I think I've definitely left more of a mark on the industry with what we've created as a company than I possibly could have had done as just an artist myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know once my sister and I went to the very first IMAX LA, we had gone every year since. Except when you moved the show to London in June,
mm-hmm.
We hadn't been to IMAX LA in January. In January for the last, it's been 3 years now, right? Is that right? Or more?
We made that change in 2012, I believe. I think it was 2012 when I made that decision
that. So it's been 3 years.
It could have been January of 2013. I may have that wrong.
Right.
I tell you what, January is a great time to be in L.A.
we just have to be careful of the snow on the East Coast, so that's been our problem.
Yeah.
Just trying to get there.
Oh, because are the airports being a problem?
Yeah, sometimes, depending on where, like if my sister's in Maryland, sometimes it's too much snow to even get out. Or we've been working, so either or.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well,
I'll tell you, it's a lot nicer for us to go to L.A. in January and to be in London in June. Because you imagine we've started getting snowed on in London in January, which was not helping our situation at all.
Right.
So most people are pretty happy about it.
We have our January IMAX tickets, and we have our London tickets for June. So this will be our first time in London. I was at the very first New York show, and then after that, every April, I'm working on something, so I haven't been able to get back there. But I absolutely loved the very first New York show. I love the fact that the IMAX is even in New York, you know. That was a great thing. And just looking forward, actually, to kind of moving around and trying to get to all of the shows. Which one of the shows is your absolute favorite?
That's easy. You know, I have to say that my six shows in a way are like my six kids. You know, each one of them have different needs. Each one of them grow at different rates, and each one need to be managed in a different way. It really is. London right now is the one that's closest to my heart for what IMATS is supposed to be. It's a great balance of education because they really embrace education on that side of the pond. And also the exhibitors are pretty even. We have actually more prestige brand cosmetics in London than we do in any other shows. And also there's a great representation of makeup effects and theater. And I mean, it's just all aspects of makeup artistry are represented really well in the London show. And there's a balance that's there. In fact, I keep talking to my staff, how do we get this aspect, this attribute of this show to be more like London? How do we do that? And so we are steering that. L.A. is really close. We've had to... There's something that happened in about 2010 was that whole YouTube explosion, which was it's like, wow, that just, you know, came like the locust. So it was like, wow, there's all these people. We started as a small show where this is a great piece of misinformation we can clarify. Some people thought, well, IMAT started letting the public in. That's not true. Since the very, very first show, we've always allowed the public to the show because it's part of that same mission statement of Makeup Artist Magazine, which is to create awareness within culture of what we do. So we've always invited people to come and celebrate with us. But in fact, we always used to have different press, you know, Entertainment Tonight, and LA Times, and we would try to get all this pre-press, hoping that, you know, makeup artists would bring their significant others and everything else, because we felt that there was an enjoyable show for everyone. In fact, it used to be a thing where a gal would bring her boyfriend or husband kind of kicking and screaming, and they'd get to the show and see all this motion picture work that's there.
Yeah, they're excited by it,
You know, and there's a fair amount of beautiful women that are at the show, which is much easy on the eyes. I mean, they kind of felt like this was like in the women's world, but then they get there and go, you know, this is actually pretty cool. So we were always trying to get folks in there, but around to 2010, all of a sudden, it's like, wham, we got hit with all these people. At first, I was actually really relieved because we moved into Pasadena, had built a new exhibition hall.
Right.
And it was about 40%. We had to actually shrink down to a temporary building. And then once we moved into the new building, I thought, oh, this is going to have an interesting psychological effect because people will, it's what in the trade show industry is called compression. If you take, in fact, we experienced that in 97. Very first IMAT show, we were at the Beverly Garland Holiday Inn, and it was like a sardine can. You probably couldn't have fit another person in that building with a crowbar. It was so, so packed. It was the most packed show I've ever produced. And then in 98, we went to the Pasadena Convention Center, and we had, you know, in the first show, we had 30 booths. That's all it was. It was 30 booths. In the second show, we had 80 booths. Okay, 30 to 80. That's more than double. And then we had a lot more people. But everybody got, oh, there's not as many people here this time because it was a much bigger room.
A bigger space, right.
It's that psychological effect. So I was concerned about us in 2010. I think it was 2010. Was I thought, well, we're going into this much bigger room. Everybody's going to think that the show is smaller. And so when we had a lot of people there, I was relieved. I thought, okay, great. You know, because we really heavily promoted it. I thought, okay, it was super. All the folks showed up. And then I was kind of scratching my head and going, actually, who are these people? And by the second year, you know, I was going, wow, there's a lot of people. And I realized we discovered that it was YouTube and these gurus. In fact, there was over 1 million views from that first show.
Wow.
in the new room. So we had where we've been pulling, trying to get everyone to come, and all of a sudden there was a lot of folks, and I thought, this is good, but it went further than what we would want. And I could see in the eyes of my colleagues, they're looking around going, I don't know if this is my room. So that's why we started the ProCard program, and now we have close to 20,000 members in the ProCard program, so we could start to control the demographic of our show. And as a result, LA is really getting back to what it's supposed to be. It's never going to be like it was in 1997 or 98,
mm-hmm.
but because we've grown, you know, the whole playing field's gotten larger. But we're able to control the demographics and definitely provide a high level of service for people within our ProCard program. In fact, it's interesting to say it. Even the words leaving my mouth sound funny. Next week for the show, we've added a third exhibition hall to the show, where we have you guys haven't been there for a little bit, so you haven't seen this part. There's what we call Hall One, which is the biggest hall.
No, is that the same? Is that the same hall that remember the 1 year where you had all of the special effects in that one hall?
Ah, okay, what you're talking about, no, that is what's called Hall 2. Hall 1 is the very big hall. It's very, very bright. It's the biggest hall. And then there's what's Hall 2, which is more theatrical lit and whatnot, which does have makeup effects in it, and motion picture makeup and character makeup, mm-hmm. all those types of kind of media makeup side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we've added now, next week, we'll be christening a new hall that they've just added onto the facility that we call Hall 3.
Gotcha.
And that is, we're going to be able to take a lot of the very social media-driven brands that we've been able to move to there. So that is going to change the feel of the show yet again, but I think it'll bring it closer to, at least that's what we're hoping, is it'll be more like what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, well, that's good because it seems like there's something there for everybody, and I just honestly believe like whatever. I mean, I know I hear it all the time. There are shows that say that they're for pros only, and I think that's not really true because it's almost like if you expected only the pros to come to this show, how are you going to make money?
Well, that's exactly that. You're actually very – that's spot on. That's a very astute observation for you. Because if you put on – one thing I can't do is I can't provide the level of service that I do for my colleagues. If you're a Gold Card member, it doesn't cost you anything to get into the show. You're in the show for free. I don't make a nickel off of top media professionals in our show because I'm not trying to. I'm at the point now where I can give back and say – an honor and say, you're a top professional, come and be a part of the show. So we're not making a nickel off of them. And the only reason we can do that is because there's, you know, people that are public that are coming that I'm losing the word for this. It's on the tip of my tongue. What they're doing is they're because they're paying for it. You wouldn't be able to do that. Now, if you did a show only for professionals, it'd be very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would have to be, still paying top dollar to get in, and you certainly wouldn't have prestige brand cosmetics being too much a part of that, because in the end they're a business and they have to be able to make money.
Right, and that's the thing. Vendors probably wouldn't make a lot of money because there are some. I mean, you know, I have to admit it. There are some professionals who kind of look to brands to kind of give them stuff. You know, sometimes we do that, but. You know, so you have to have people there to buy the product, to keep the vendors happy, to keep them coming back. It's a business. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, the real thing is what I came to is I had to really analyze this. I had to completely change up our business model to be able to do it. I realized that we were never going to put the toothpaste back in the tube, that the world had gotten larger, and we needed to be able to grow with that. And the way that it is I look at it like Disneyland. Disneyland has, they have Tomorrowland, they have Adventureland, they have these different zones and things within that zone. So people are happy within that area. That's what my first experiment with that was, Hall 2. What it was, it took the compression, because they're certainly not my colleagues, my local 706, IOC, Hollywood, union members. There's no way they're going to stand in line for 20 minutes, much less 2 hours, to buy a product.
Right.
So that's why we create Friday, so they can come and just walk and casually walk down the aisle, and they can also go to Hall 2, where everything is pretty chill, and everybody can be just very organic and conversational and not deal with large crowds as much. But in order to supplement that so that it can happen, we certainly need to have companies to be able to make money. So So these zones are working really well. In fact, we do that in London, as I said before, where London is really working so well, is we have an area where more of the motion picture work is. And you can look at it. What's great about that facility at Olympia, up on the mezzanine level, you can look. And in that area, there's elbow room. You can walk around, and it's civilized. And you look down where just, hardcore beauty is, where it's more... Not pedestrian. That wouldn't be the right word. It's but it's just more general beauty, and you see it's just really, really packed. So those two zones coexist quite well. They do it well. So my belief is that keep the umbrella big, so that we're bringing together all aspects of makeup artistry, and even the new ones that are emerging. I see the whole YouTube thing. There's a lot of pros that will end up bashing that, and I won't do it because I'm a little bit of a student of history, and I know that's exactly what happened to television. When television first came out, the motion picture people said it was a gimmick. It's a novelty. It won't last. It's frivolous. it's lowbrow and they,
now
you
look
know,
what's happening.
Well, that's the way they said in the beginning of the 50s. By the end of the 50s, the motion picture studios are going, how do we get people back to the box office?
Right.
Which is why they introduced Panavision. They went to a widescreen format, and they started doing 3D, and they started doing all these things to create an experience that they couldn't do. They couldn't get at home off the small set in television. So I think it's short-sighted to look at what's happening with that medium and put them all in the same basket and say they're all a bunch of losers. I won't do that because I see some that are very, very talented, and I think out of that leaders will emerge. So we're trying to embrace them and actually point to them and point to people and say, hey, these people are actually have something to contribute. They're talented. And help them enter into the fold as the medium matures. Anyway, I've told you a lot of things.
Well, tell us a little bit about the pro events that you're doing around.
Good. That's what started in 2015. I talked with my staff, and everybody wants us to do an IMATS where they are. You know, we're constantly getting requests, please do an IMATS insert X, wherever it is. Because people don't want to travel to an IMATS, they want us to roll it right up to their doorstep where they are, and so they can step right into it. Well, I'm not in a big hurry to add a seventh show to what we do. First of all, I think my staff would probably shoot me. We would really... In all seriousness, we would need to restructure our staff and our company in the way that we work in order to accommodate more shows. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's quite really the answer. I think there are places around the world where we want to have a presence and we want to meet with people, but we want to not bring the big machine of IMATS. What we're looking to do right now is more smaller events, where we can go and connect with people. And it's starting in 2015, we started doing that with the Hollywood Awards celebration that we do, which happens immediately after the Academy votes for the nomination for makeup and hairstylist for the Oscar. We did that last year. It's a fantastic event. It's only for our Gold and Platinum members, and it's very small. I've actually had some people in the industry tell me it's their most favorite industry event of the year because it's so spot on for what they want. So it's like, cool, we hit a home run with that one. But, what we're having to do, though, is those are kind of expensive for us to do. Get on airplanes, go stay in hotels, put things on. They were being 100% of it was expense. And our goal in 2016 was, okay, let's get some other companies to partner with us on this so we're not shouldering the whole burden and so that we can continue to do this and actually do it more places. So in this month is the Hollywood Awards Celebration, which is Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then a week from Wednesday, which is a one-off, which is the 20th Gala Celebration, which we consider a pro card event. Oh, that's that'll be the biggest pro card event we've right. ever done. And then in February, we're doing pro card events. We're doing one in conjunction with Bank Forever in Paris, which will be our first time having representation there at the beginning of the month. And then we're doing a London Awards Celebration just before BAFTA on February 8th that we'll be doing that. So we'll be honoring BAFTA and Oscar nominees. So those, and then also I think in the first quarter of 2016, we're looking at Atlanta and at some point Dallas, Fort Worth, Chicago, and we just did one in actually Orlando. So we're figuring out how to do that. There's companies that are partnering with us. Mac is partnering with us for both the London and Hollywood Awards celebrations, and there's other companies that have expressed interest in their being a part of it. So hopefully we can bring Makeup Artist Magazine and take that thing that one of our strengths is to be able to bring people together. So we want to be able to do that in various cities.
Nice.
Well, let us know when you come to Atlanta.
March.
Perfect. March.
Yes, in fact, that will be an interesting one because it'll be I'm bringing an Oscar-winning makeup artist to do pretty amazing prosthetic demo, as well as we're bringing some beauty editorial artists from, I think they're coming from Los Angeles, to be able to do that. So it'll be a pretty neat event. I'm actually very excited to come to Atlanta and do that. That one's been in the works now for a few months.
So what is maybe one of your favorite IMATS memories? I know for me it was always seeing Dick Smith, seeing his daughter or you walk him down the hall. And it's like, oh, God, I got to get, a picture with Dick Smith. That was our thing every year at IMATS, was getting a picture with Dick Smith.
Yes, I miss Dick very, very much. He helped me in so many ways with contributing to Makeup Artist Magazine and also, to IMATS. It was our great pleasure to be able to bring him to L.A. We brought him to London a couple of times, which was super, and it allowed people to meet Dick. I'm really glad they got to meet him in person. No, favorite IMATS memories are, they almost always involve bringing people together, especially if they're from different disciplines within our industry. One of them is from a few years ago in New York when we were backstage and was about ready to introduce Oscar-winning makeup artist Howard Berger and Peter Matanya. They were going to do the Wicked Witch makeup from the new Oz movie. And coming off the stage was Roshar. And he came off the other side of the stage, and Peter was sitting there in a chair. He's just waiting for us to kind of get things up and running. And he saw the model that Roshar had done, and he looked and he said, "That's a great makeup. Who did that makeup?" And I said, "Well, that was done by Roshar." And I could tell he didn't know who I was talking about because he plays in a different sandbox. And I said, "Well, Roshar, he's an editorial makeup artist, and he really does very avant-garde, gorgeous makeups." And I said, "Actually, that's him across he's right there on the other side of the room. He just came off the stage." And Peter got out of his chair, walked across there, having no idea who this guy is other than just seeing the model. And he came up and shook his hand and said, "Hey, I really liked your makeup." And, you know, here's a movie makeup artist and an editorial makeup artist, and they're, you know, the one's being inspired by the other. I love that. I love that we end up bringing that together. And it's super. The very first show in 1997, we had two artists. Actually, this is Dick Smith, the great Dick Smith story. Dick Smith met one makeup artist from Israel. A little bit later, he met another makeup artist from Israel. Oh, you must have come with so-and-so. And he said, who? And they didn't know who that person was. And Dick saw them and brought them together and introduced each other. And they were just astonished. That's one of the magic of IMAX.
Wow.
At that time, they were coming. There are places that people where they thought they were the only one. They were the only one that was into this crazy thing called makeup artistry, especially back then. And then all of a sudden they walk into a room with, you know, hundreds and thousands of people that do exactly the same thing they do and speak the same language. And it, and they are elated because they're thinking, I'm not crazy. There are other people that do this too. And they're so inspired and they're so encouraged by it. I love that. I love that everyone can learn more and can be inspired. And I'm just the guy behind the curtain that, facilitates the magic to happen. I don't really make the magic happen. I make it possible for it to happen.
Uh-huh. I know you have a lot going on with this, with IMAX, with Makeup Artist Magazine. But where do you see IMAX and Makeup Artist Magazine, let's say, maybe in the next 10 years?
Good question. I think Makeup Artist Magazine, we've just planted the seeds to that will allow that. We just launched our online edition just a few months ago, which required my staff to go back and digitize every issue of Makeup Artist Magazine. And the way it works is like a, it's like Netflix. So if you have a online subscription, you can access anything within the history of Makeup Artist Magazine. And actually, the sweet thing of that, the very, very best part of it is the searchable database. So you could put in Roshar and have it bring up everything within the 20 years that we've ever published about Roshar, or bridal makeup, or ventilating, or, you know, eyeshadow, whatever it is, it's completely searchable. So that is a great tool. Also, too, is in order for people across oceans that have to pay so much money for a print subscription. We all like paper. Almost everybody's like, I love holding it in my hand because I can swat the dog or kill the spider or whatever. Poor magazine publishers have to watch their work be degraded in such manner. But, you know, we do like the paper one. But, you know, some people are paying $50 for a subscription if you're across an ocean. That's a lot of money. For some people, that's especially if you're in a different economy, that can just not be really feasible. But the online edition is just $5 a month. So that's not too bad. For the price of going to Taco Bell for lunch, you can have a month of Makeup Artist Magazine. So I think that's what's going to take Makeup Artist Magazine, keep it relevant and keep it accessible to people around the world. When they're on set, just like we're talking about, they're paying bills, they can pull out the tablet and they can look at an issue of the magazine. So hopefully that's what will keep the magazine fresh. As far as IMATS, what that will be is that the future of IMATS really is secret is in the Makeup Artist Magazine Pro Card system. So that we can continue to refine the demographic, so we can control that, so that we make that it works, that we continue to grow without losing track of what our mission statement is and the whole reason why I started IMATS in the first place. I think that's where it's going to be. We'll see the shows continue to mature. I mean, LA is getting very, very close to where it's going to be for probably many years to come. Mm-hmm. And London is very close. Actually, one thing that could happen is the tipping point of larger companies that don't normally exhibit. I'm talking about prestige brand cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
They look and go, okay, well, this is different. Can this work for us? And they come and they try, like Bobbi Brown Cosmetics in the UK. They, when they first came, they took a little 10x10 booth And we chuckled and we said, this is going to be crazy. And it was. It was insane. They couldn't possibly handle the audience of people that wanted to come to them. And then the second year they took two booths, in U.S. terms would be like a 10 by 20.
Mm-hmm.
And they came a lot more prepared. They had a much better idea of who our audience was. And did better. And then this last, July, they took a four. So they doubled again. And now they can finally, they're at the place where now they understand how to exhibit at shows because they didn't really exhibit. And this last show we had Yves Saint Laurent
mm-hmm.
exhibited for the first time with us. And they're thrilled. So I think it's where all the prestige and maybe the couture brands are seeing that IMATS is a viable option for them.
That was funny because that reminded me of Matt years ago at the LA show. That I remember that one year they came and they weren't selling anything. They just had products on display, so people would come and then they'd say, "Well, you can go over to our Robertson store and get these products." But then the next year they were selling, and so each year they got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, they did. They had to figure out how to exhibit because they hadn't really exhibited before, and then also how to exhibit it with an audience that's not all beauty.
Right.
I think that is very difficult if you're a makeup brand, especially that just kind of that road. And when I say this, I'm not meaning it in a derogatory manner at all, but the beauty industry can be go beauty, 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 and everything's about beauty.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the very first show I produced, I got a call from I won't say the name of the company, just to be polite, but I got a call the day after my very first show. I got a call from this guy in New York, Prestige Brand Cosmetics, and he goes, "I just learned about your show, and I'm just gutted that I didn't find out about it until after it happens. And I'm thrilled that you had a makeup artist show," and he's going on and on. He says, when is your next show?" I was thinking, my goodness, man, I'm just happy that we were able to pull it off. I said, we'll have another one next year, as I'm saying that, and I haven't even booked it yet. But I said, yeah, we'll do it again. He goes, "You sure? Well, you're not going to do one before another year?" I said, I was so happy for his. It's like, I'm glad he's enthusiastic, but I'm thinking, man, we got to recover from this one. And so, we kept in touch, and then, here we were. Like I said, we moved from that 30 booths to 80 booths, and I thought, this will be great. And there's all kinds of companies exhibiting. There's Max Factor, and there's Origins, and people there being a part of it all. And then he said he was going to come, and I got done with the show, and everybody had told me how much they loved it, and that's nice. It's nice to hear good feedback. And it got to be about a week or so after the show, and I went, "Hey, that's right, that guy from that company, he never said hello." I thought, I didn't get a chance to meet him. So I called him up and I said, "Hey," I said, "I just realized I never met you at the show. Did you come?" He says, "Oh, yeah, I was there." And I said, "Well, how was it for you?" Fully expecting this, kind of reviews like what I've been hearing. He goes, "Well, I don't think it's really for us."
Wow.
I was shocked. I thought, I didn't expect, I really wasn't prepared for his response. And I thought, are you sure you were at my show? Because there was this other show called the Showbiz Expo the same weekend. He goes, no. Yeah, I was at your show. And I said, okay, help me understand, because I want to understand your viewpoint. What was it that you was what you wanted? He goes, "Well, there's all these bald caps and beards and." He said, "There really wasn't that much beauty there." I went, "Really? Are you sure you were at my show?"
Right.
And I said, "Well, did you see Max Factor?" And he goes, "Yeah." "Did you see Origins?" "Yeah." "Did you see Temptu?" "Yeah." "And did you see, Cinecosmics?" "Yeah." And named off all these brands. And then he said, "Yeah, but there's all these ball caps and beards." And I talked to the guy for a little bit. And he says, "Yeah, I don't think it's for us." And I got off the phone with him. And I go, "I don't understand. What is he talking about? I don't get it." And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I go, I understand. I get it. He's used to going to places where even there's these beauty shows that are mostly hair and nails.
Uh-huh.
It's still all beauty.
Yep.
So he's comfortable with that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought he was uncomfortable because not everything was pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And makeup is not all about pretty. I mean, that's one. It's a very important part of it. But you look at Stuart Freeborn, who did the Star Wars movies. He did the very first Star Wars. So he did everybody. Yes, he did Princess Leia, but he also did Chewbacca.
Right.
You know, you look at the whole movie, look at all the characters. You got Luke Skywalker, you got Darth Vader, you got, you know, all these people. And, yeah, you got a pretty girl, but that was only one of the characters. So from a motion picture television standpoint, it's more rounded. So it I think the industry's had to learn how to be able to come and play in a sandbox that's not all pretty. And it's working. And I'm asking
you
to come
more.
You make
a great point. Over the years, trying to talk to other makeup artists about IMATS, and they say, well, I'm not interested in creating characters or doing work for film. And I'm saying to myself, you're not interested in creating characters. Are you a makeup artist? I mean, I know some people like, they may like fashion or, you know, they may just want to do photo shoots. But my thing is, I'm thinking of being well-rounded, you know, being able to do some things or at least get exposure to some things, even if that's not the area you want to concentrate on. That's one of the things I really love about the show.
It's just like when Peter Montagna came over and said, you know, said to Roshar, said, I thought this is a fantastic makeup. You should be inspired. If you're an artist, you should be inspired by art regardless of the medium of the art. Especially if it's makeup. I mean, I can be inspired by a sculpture, or I can be inspired by a painting, or, you know, music, different forms of art. I think an artistic person should, you know, to say, well, art that's not exactly what I'm doing is not relevant. I don't understand that. That doesn't fit for me. And especially since we're talking about makeup, I mean, it's really a pretty narrow category of art. And, there are people that are like that, though, and I just have learned to, you know, roll with it. That's why we have two different covers of Makeup Artist Magazine for every issue. There's a beauty cover and there's a character cover.
Mm-hmm.
Same content. The inside pages are all the same. But it's funny, we'll have them sit down at a show, and somebody will look through one copy. That's the beauty copy. And then look through the character copy. Look through the same magazine. They got exactly the same interior. They say, I think I like this one better. I'm gonna go. And because their perception of the entire issue was, you know,
based on that cover.
But based on the cover. So,
well,
you know, it's
funny.
Fine.
But for years, you only had just the one cover.
Well, there were times when we would do more than one cover, but it was, you know, it was a special occasion when we would do it. Like when we did, when episode one of Star Wars came out, I think we may have had two or three
mm-hmm.
covers that time. So, you know, we've done it off and on over the years, but now I think it's for, I don't know how many years now, but maybe it's been five now that we've had at least two covers every issue. And once in a while, we'll throw in a third.
Yeah. No, I think I've had the beauty cover for the last 2 years because at first I just had the characters. But I think when I renew, I'm going back to the character covers because for where we are with IMATS now, I kind of missed I missed when we first started going to IMATS, and it seemed to be more stuff for television and film. I kind of missed that. Like, for me, I don't want to see so much of the beauty. I mean, I know it's there, but I'm going for everything else. Like, I just kind of miss, I don't know how to explain it, but
yeah,
I just
no,
missed
I get it
years ago. You know what I mean?
You said it's been a while since you've been to L.A., right?
Well, it's been a while since I've been to IMATS in January, but I've been to, I think it's been maybe a year or so since I've been to L.A.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because that's when we do LA's in January.
Yeah.
So it's become more of that. I think I think what it was is that if you add, it's a little bit like coffee. If you take coffee and you got the same amount of cream in there, but then you add some more black coffee in there, you feel like, oh, there's not as much cream in it. It's because it's a ratio.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that we
mm-hmm.
take it. And
mm-hmm.
I think the room has gotten bigger. That's
right.
For sure. the room has gotten bigger, and so therefore there's more. The umbrella's gotten bigger,
mm-hmm.
and so the amount of pro television and film makeup artists hasn't shrunk, and actually, if anything, it's grown. But because the room's gotten bigger, our feeling of
mm-hmm.
it is changes our perception of it. That's why I created Hall 2.
So
you can
right.
go to Hall 2 and you can hang out with this film and television people.
Right.
So, yeah, we see the need for that. And in order for us to grow and keep the umbrella big, we have to keep
mm-hmm.
embracing that so everybody will feel exactly what you're talking. In fact, in New York, that's what I'm so much trying to bring under balance, because New York is the least like what IMATS is supposed to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure out how to create zones. And I think we got a little bit closer this last year, and we're continuing to evolve that and continue to work on it. And we will until we achieve it.
Now, will you ever bring back, like I just remember years ago taking, you know, I just want everything to be like years ago, I'll be honest. But I remember like having, going to this lighting class, and, you know, there were classes on hair laying and, you know, things like that. I mean, I guess, here I go again. I guess I want to see more of that type of thing.
Yeah, no, I hear that. In fact, what that is I keep pushing for that, because that, as far as hair laying, that is in my, that's something that is close to my heart, because that was probably beat into me by the old timers
mm-hmm.
in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Is that's it's essential. You're not a real makeup artist in their mind's eye unless
exactly.
you can lay and dress a beard. So it that's very, very important. So when you see those types of classes, oftentimes it's because it's something that we've brought in because I really want the balance and want to have that in there. Exhibitors provide about 80% of the education that we have in the
mm-hmm.
classrooms that we do. And mm-hmm. very few of them want to do character classes. And we keep
yeah.
urging them. So what I'm doing is I'm working with my education coordinator and saying, okay, in order for us to have the balance in the show that we want, we have to have ratios that are there. Say, you know, if somebody wants to book another class, you can be able to say that, oh, well, if you have a character class, we can take a look at that. But we've already reached the amount of beauty content that we're needing there in order
mm-hmm.
to be able to encourage them. The other thing that I try to get people to do is to reach out via social media or otherwise, or even just in person, tell exhibitors that you would like more content like that, especially makeup suppliers like a Nanny's
yeah.
or a Friends or,
right.
or Alcone, you know, folks
mm-hmm.
like that sell, they sell hackles, they sell
right.
irons, they sell stoves, they sell,
they
you
sell
know, yak
cap.
Hair,
yep.
all of that. So it's more in, you know, you're going to get them to do it before you're going to get something
yeah.
that's just a beauty cosmetics company that sells eyeshadow. They're
yeah.
probably never going to do a beard laying class.
No,
but
they want to sell eyeshadow.
But I'm with you. I want to make sure that we still continue to have those classes, and we do. In fact, I've got Oscar winner Mark Coulier coming all the way from England.
Yes.
I'm going to have him do the what I consider to be the state-of-the-art bald cap that is head and shoulders above anything else I've ever seen. He's going to
oh,
be
wow.
doing that in LA. He's going to do that in LA next week.
Now, is he doing that on the pro night or during IMATS? I remember seeing.
Well, the pro night is part of IMATS.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I meant pro night or like on Saturday or Sunday.
It is. Mom's setting at my computer, so I can probably find
yeah.
out for you. Hold on a second. See where that is.
That.
It's going to be epic. I've been asked after him for a little while to do that, and that's why I'm bringing him all the way over from England, because it's such a brilliant technique. It's really raising the bar on, there it is. It's going to be on, it's Saturday at 9.
Saturday.
Saturday at 2 p.m.
Okay.
So there you
there
go.
Watching.
You asked for it, I deliver.
I got it.
See how fast that was.
Yeah. Now, wait till you see
there.
This. It's insanely amazing and realistic. It's unlike any bald cap situation I've ever seen. And it's not just something that they can just pull out of their kit and here's a cap and throw that in there, because he puts a plastic cap down first and then he puts this whole silicone thing that's been sculpted on top of it.
Oh wow.
And yeah, wait till you see it. It's epic. It really is.
All right, Michael, I know we've kind of held you over the 1 hour, but last question for me is, how has social media helped your brand? I mean, how has it helped IMAX and Makeup Artist Magazine?
Social media has been a two-edged sword. It's great, and it's also it's a bit of a challenge at the same time, because social media it's driving a lot of people at us, which is a good problem to have. What a wonderful problem to have. Our brand is on fire. You know, that there are worse situations to have in this situation. You know, one day we may wish our brand was still on fire. It's our turn right now to be on fire. And in that, growth comes challenges, because growth causes growing pains. So social media is good, because when I started the magazine in 1996, I was thinking, how in the world can I let – I mean, everybody in Hollywood knows, because they're my colleagues. So it's easy, because I work with them. I'm in the trenches with them. And so it was fine for them. But I thought, how's the other makeup artists around the world? How can they know that we have a magazine for makeup artistry? I kept thinking that there was in the Looney Tunes, and this is going to date me a little bit, they'd have that sign, Eat at Joe's, that Bugs Bunny would turn on or something once in a while. I thought, if there was like that neon sign, the Eat at Joe's sign, if there could be like makeup art, there is a magazine for makeup artists. I thought, if that could happen, then there's so many, everybody could partake of this. Well, social media is the Eat at Joe's sign. It really is. What happened is now it's not, I mean, we're number one on Google. You put in, makeup artist, you put in so many things, like the very first thing that comes up in Google is Makeup Artist Magazine. So that's cool. That's our Eat at Joe sign. So therefore, pros, unless they got their head in the sand like an ostrich somewhere, they probably know we exist. So that's great. So I'm happy for social media in that. And that it allows us to, it's another way of telling stories. It used to be that Makeup Artist Magazine was a way that everybody could really connect socially via the magazine. Actually, Facebook has superseded, I'd say Facebook and Twitter, maybe Instagram, and now Periscope. I don't know if you guys are rocking the Periscope, but I know some of you, actually one of you do anyway.
Yes.
So all those things are probably drawing us together and interacting in a way that supersedes the magazine. And the magazine has had its own, its role in the industry has morphed and changed a little bit. But social media is great. I'm really happy for it. It's still in its infancy. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Will those posts of Facebook be around, 20 years from now? Will there be there where you can go back and look at moments like we do now, because it's such a short period of time that Facebook's been out? I don't know. Nobody knows that yet. Will it stay there? So it's still new, and it's still going to change, and it's going to change the playing field. We're never going back to the 1950s. Television didn't go away, and neither is social media. There's Lottie has a campaign that she's kind of doing, saying, she calls it Makeup Revolution, I think is her hashtag. And she is saying, the real rank and file makeup artists that are out there putting makeup on people, she said they feel like they're getting passed over or overshadowed. I'm paraphrasing her. But she's saying that, social media, and specifically Periscope, is the way to bring it back. Whereas, like, if you do it on Periscope, you can't put a million filters on it and all of this. It's real. Because when you see it on Periscope, it's like, there's nothing to hide. It's going to be what it is. And so she's pushing for, not to be derogatory towards people on Instagram or YouTube, but she's just saying that this is real and this is what media makeup artists need to be doing to bring the attention back on the great work that's been done for years by these folks.
Right.
So if there's this thing that's back and forth, it will make new mediums make people uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it did. We can. I'll just keep going back, and I'll sound like a broken record, but look at television. Look at what it did. Look at what it caused. If you study a little bit of history on that, you can see what happened. It changed, and so did cable. Remember when cable was like, "Hey, no commercials." Watch
right.
Cable, no commercials. Now there's more commercials on cable
more commercials
than ever.
Exactly.
And I would, you know, I remember when I used to be a judge for the Cable ACE Awards, when the Emmys would not allow cable shows to be included for the Emmys. If you go back, so there's a little bit of a kind of a history lesson there. Of course, now look at cable's driving the bus.
Right.
So, you know, we shouldn't diss new mediums and say they don't belong. Let's keep them out. And I think that's short-sighted. I think we need to kind of be able to be a little bit more open-minded and hopefully take a gander at what possibly could be the next evolution of importance. It's going to stay here, so we should embrace it, and we're not going to put that toothpaste back in the tube. That's not going away. So
exactly.
I'm trying to embrace it and be able to use it and not abuse it. So there, that's what I'll leave you with.
Now, this is a personal question, and I promise this is it for me. But do you have any older issues of Makeup Artist Magazine in print? I'm one of those paper people, but I do have my digital subscription as well.
Yes. Well, did you ever see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
Okay, remember at the end of the movie, they put the Ark inside this crate, and the crate goes into this really big warehouse.
Well, Michael, if I come to the warehouse, can I find my issue?
And in the secret warehouse, there is Michael's stash of magazines. I have every issue of the magazine, and I've held on to just a small, actually, it used to be, I used to have an entire couple of boxes. That was fine when we had 10 issues of the magazine.
Right.
You know, now that we're at 119, so I've downsized it. It's not what's a full box, and so we keep making it smaller, because otherwise I really will have, I'm kidding, but... I'm going to need a bigger warehouse if we don't downsize that a little bit. But yes, I do have every issue of the magazine. And
now,
here's a little secret.
Still for sale, though?
Here's something that for your listeners, for your audience, I haven't really put that out there. You know, I do 6 shows around the world, and we've shipped magazines over the years to those shows. We never ship them back. Because it's too expensive. As it is, it's crazy to even be shipping magazines across oceans. So, like, magazines that went to London in 2002 never came back. So there are magazines that are sold out online and that we don't have in the for sale in our warehouse, but they might be for sale in a different show around the world because they're still there. There you
go. I'll have to make a list. And now, do you still sell the notebooks?
Yeah, that's what
I'm sorry, the notebooks?
The binders.
Yes.
We have been. In fact, I have to look back. I don't think they're on our website now. In fact, I just noticed that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen them on the website.
So we are, I'm going to have to find out. That's a great question because it's one I've been wondering about. And if we don't have them, we'll get more because, hey, you know, I need to still have them. I'm going to keep putting them in, so I'm happy to be able to make them available for you guys as well.
Yeah, I have a stack of magazines that I probably need about 2 or 3.
I hear you.
I think I probably need about a dozen. You're going to need more than 2 or 3 as well.
Well, good. I will. We may have some in L.A., so you're going to be in L.A. Are you both going to be in L.A.?
Yes, we'll both be there.
Good. Well, we're celebrating 20th anniversary of Makeup Artist Magazine. I will talk to my staff tomorrow. If we have any in the warehouse, we will bring them with us to L.A. If they're not already there. They may already be in L.A.
Okay.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
Cool.
All right. In the meantime, we'll probably see you on Periscope, I'm sure.
Yes, you will. I will be periscoping hopefully from the awards celebration and the 20th gala, and absolutely at IMATS, and be able to share that.
That'll be great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I could have probably held you for 2 hours, but I don't want to do that. And I know you don't have that kind of time. But thank you so much. I mean, there's a lot of history at IMATS and the Makeup Artist Magazine. So much more to talk about. But I just encourage those people out there who are listening who've never attended to attend one. And if you can't get to one of the shows here in the country, to at least try going to one of the pro events. Certainly worthwhile. I've met so many makeup artists over the years. Some I've since maybe worked with when they came to the East Coast. Some I've become friends with. Marietta Carter-Narcisse, I believe she's listening to the show tonight. Just so many wonderful people, so many people that you can actually learn from, both artists out there who's worked on big projects and have a lot to share. It's definitely worth attending, for sure.
Well, fantastic. Well, I'll see you ladies next week.
All right.
Make sure you find me. Find somebody that has a radio in their hand and say, "Where's Michael?" And so I can get a chance to connect with you.
Sounds good.
See what's going on with binders. And it's going to be a special, special year. I'm glad that you're going to be able to be here for this one.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks so much. Thank you again, Michael.
You bet, ladies. Have a good night.
Okay.
And I'll see you next week.
You too.
All right. Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Do you have any beauty news for us?
I do. Really quickly, so we won't hold everybody too long, but the deadline is approaching for the North American Hairstyling Awards. The entry deadline is February 11th of this year. The actual awards will take place Sunday, July 24th at the Mandalay Bay Resort Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. The entry process is done entirely online. All entries must be submitted online at probeauty.org/enter NAHA, that's N-A-H-A, by 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that's probeauty.org/enter, E-N-T-E-R-N-A-H-A, again, by 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on February 11th. Some of the categories, are Hairstylist of the Year, Makeup Artist of the Year, Nail Professional of the Year. And for more information, you can go to probeauty.org/NAHA, N-A-H-A. And the Makeup Club, I think I announced this, I want to say late November, early December maybe. The Makeup Club opens in Hollywood, Florida. It's offering professional makeup brands and tools, as well as beauty workshops and a membership program for South Florida makeup professionals. It's located at 2205 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, Florida. And last but not least, I thought this was interesting, but say goodbye to your exfoliating shower gel. The tiny plastic microbeads you have been rubbing on your face are now outlawed in the United States. President Barack Obama has signed a bipartisan bill that prohibits selling and distributing products containing microbeads. The bill is intended to protect the nation's waterways. A microbead is any solid plastic particle that is less than 5 millimeters and is used for the purpose of exfoliating or cleansing, according to the bill. The tiny plastic beads have become ubiquitous in hundreds of products ranging from body scrubs to toothpaste. They provide an exfoliating sensation for users and are designed to wash down drains. But because they are made of plastic, the microbeads do not dissolve and may pose a threat to the environment. So that's the real reason why they've banned the microbeads. But because they are plastic, the microbeads do not dissolve and may pose a threat to the environment. In September, a study published in Environmental Science and Technology reported that more than 8 trillion microbeads were entering the country's aquatic habitats daily.
The volume was
enough
to coat the volume was enough to coat the surface of 300 tennis courts every day. So microbeads have contributed to a greater increase in microplastic polluting the planet's oceans and lakes, the researchers say. Not only are they hard to clean up because they are about the size of a pinhead, but researchers say they are also posing a threat to aquatic life. Some marine life mistake small plastic as food particles. So can you imagine the marine life are eating the microbeads, and then imagine we're eating marine life. So scientists are researching whether microplastics affect the health of marine life once ingested and if chemicals transfer to humans who eat those species later, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So I found that to be interesting. So just know that you won't find those items on the shelves of your Walmart or your drugstore or wherever you buy microbead products.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad they're banning them.
Yeah.
I'm glad they are banning them. Well, again, as we were speaking all night tonight, IMAX LA takes place January 5th. Your show is 16th and 17th, and the 15th is the pro night. So if you a pro card, you can attend the 15th. They're in New York, April 8th through the 10th, London, June 3rd through the 5th, Vancouver, July 16th and 17th, and then we'll have to wait a little while longer to get dates for Toronto and Sydney.
And there are some interesting classes taking place at IMAX. I think there were actually a few contouring types of classes, but I found them to be, I guess, a little interesting. And there's one on Saturday that's sponsored by Kat Von D Beauty, and it's called Shade and Light, Discover the Art of Color Contouring. Learn how to take contouring to the next level with Kat Von D Beauty's new Shade and Light Blush. And then, of course, there's sponsored by NYX Cosmetics, The Art of Strobing. Then Morphe Brushes, sponsoring a class on Saturday as well, Highlight and Contour. So, I mean, you can, if you're really interested in contouring, I think I'm going to do I'm not going to take the typical highlight and contouring class. I think I'm going to probably try to check out the Shade and Light, the Art of Color Contouring. And during the other contouring classes, I will be at Eugenia Weston's class, The Art of Brows.
Yeah, always great seeing Eugenia, so I can't wait to see her.
Always.
And then for those of you who can't make any of the six shows that I mentioned, don't forget the pro event is coming to Atlanta in March. And then there are future dates planned for Dallas and Chicago. And then there's also a pro event in Paris with the Makeup Forever Academy. So imats.net, I believe is the website.
Yep, imats.net.
If you need more information, if you don't have a chance to write the dates down, go to imax.net to get all the information. So, again, thank you to Michael Key for joining us tonight. And then just thank Michael Key again, for IMAX and the Makeup Artist magazine. Those two things have been around for a long time, and they've been a part of my life, which, again, has meant a lot to my career. So I thank him again for that as well.
And also make sure you, if you don't have a pro card, make sure you check out how to apply for a pro card and what the credentials are that you'll need to get your pro cards. There are four different categories of the card. There's the educator student card. There's the esthetician, cosmetologist, bridal card,
There's the standard card, which is like the platinum, and then there's the gold card. I think the gold card is if you are represented by an agency or a reputable agency, or if you have a union card. So if you're in Local 706 out in Los Angeles, or Local 798 out of New York and, you know, the East Coast, then you'll be able to qualify for the gold card.
And I'm also sure that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that might be a question for Michael, but because the show is in Vancouver and Toronto, if you are part of those locals out there, I'm pretty sure you can get the gold card as well.
Yeah, probably so, yes. Because those are IATSE, right?
Exactly.
I think they are. I just don't know the numbers. And then the standard card, which is the platinum card, those are for media, makeup artists, and I think you'll need like a call. You'll need like three things from a list of things. I think one being a call sheet, one being a crew list, a tear from a magazine. I think your resume, some things like that to qualify for the standard card. And the educator student card, I think you need a cosmetology license, or I think like an esthetician license. Something like that, and then, I'm sorry, the esthetician cosmetology one is where you need the cosmetology license, esthetician license, and then the educator student card, I guess you just have to be enrolled, you know, in a makeup artist program at, you know, at a makeup school. But you can check it all out on the website at makeup. You can go to makeupmag.com or you can go to imats.net.
All right.
Again, get your card.
You guys. For tuning in for our first show of the year. Really appreciate it. For those of you who will be attending IMAX, we'll see you there. Listening and, and you're attending, make sure you find us. But in the meantime, you guys can follow us online on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online. On, let's see, Twitter, we are Beauty_talk, and then on Instagram we are beauty_talk_media, Periscope, which is Beauty Talk, and you can also follow our personal accounts, and we are just our names on. In the meantime, we'll be posting sometime this week who our guests will be next Sunday night, but we'll be back 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please tell a friend about Beauty Talk and join us again next Sunday night. Also, again, for those of you out there who are listening and know someone who don't know anything about the show, you can also let them know that they can go back and listen to all of the shows we've ever done, actually. They can also go back and listen to tonight's show as well. So thanks again for tuning in. Have a wonderful night. And have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.